Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Here on 830 WCCO, we welcome Julie Weisenhorn back
morning.
Into the studio. Last time we saw you, it was a rather damp day at the Minnesota State Fair.
Chilly day.
Yeah, cool and damp.
It's chilly today, too.
But it is a little fresh today. But it's good to see you
it's
again,
invigorating.
Julie.
Good to see you, too.
We are already getting text messages and callers as we speak for our Lawn and Garden Show. We call it Smart Garden. It is brought to us every week by our good friends down near Jordan, Minnesota, that make the best patio furniture in the whole world. It's called By the Yard. We'll talk about that coming up. But they're the folks that make this show possible. We thank them for that. And Julie makes it possible by showing up. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, I love
her expertise.
It's a lot of fun.
It is fun. It was great seeing everybody at the fair, though, Sam.
It was.
And Mary.
Yeah. Eric was on with us.
Yeah. It was always a good time. But here we are.
There were a lot of troopers out there on that rainy Saturday morning.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Was it whether it was us or Sweet Martha's cookies? I'm not sure.
Not necessarily in that order, right? 651-989-9226. If you have a lawn or garden question, call it in now or text it in now. You know, we tend to get really busy. 651-989-9226 or send us a text, 81807, 81807. So did you have a good week or two since we saw you last?
Yeah, it's been real busy.
But so, is this are we coming into a busy time for people with from the U of M that you travel? I know you do.
Yeah, do a little bit of traveling now and then, a lot of speaking, and right now we're kind of looking forward toward our licensed pesticide applicator training sessions, which happen all over the state, and are headed up by Dean Hertzfeld, who's our pesticide education coordinator for Extension, and a bunch of us are instructors on that, so we've been meeting and working on modules and reaching out to the industry in that way. So,
always learning, right?
Always learning, yeah. Every day.
Yep.
That's one of the best things about my job.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's great.
All right, well, we're going to put you back to work here. Lynn and Rice Lake is first up. And Lynn, you're on with Julie.
Good morning, Julie and Denny.
Morning.
I am in the process of getting ready to move from my home to an apartment.
Okay.
Where I will not be able to necessarily plant items outside, but yet I want to take my lilies and irises and some of those plants that were my dad's from my garden and put them in a big pot and that and take the pots with me to have on a terrace.
Okay.
And I wanted to know the best way to do this.
Okay. Well, the one thing to remember is that when you plant things in containers, they will freeze solid. Unless you have a semi-heated garage where you can overwinter them in dormancy. So things like iris, they need a cold period, but they need to, they may not make it in a container. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So you can certainly take some with you. But just be aware that you may have to move them into a relatively warm garage, 50 degrees, 45 degrees, to prevent them from freezing solid. Or you could actually, I wonder if you could actually dig up those rhizomes and store them over the winter. That might help too. I'm not sure. So it's going to be a little bit tricky. If you have the opportunity, I would recommend a community garden plot nearby, and then you could actually transplant some of those perennials into that community garden plot.
Okay. Thanks, Lynn. Texter says, how do I save begonia bulbs over the winter?
If they're tuberous begonias, you want to dig them up and take off, knock some of the soil off of there gently. You don't want to damage the tubers, and then put them into, say, a paper bag and keep them someplace where it's cool. That's the important thing. Don't put them in a real warm, heated area like a furnace room. Put them in a cool area in your basement, or if you have a heated garage, that's great. 50 degrees, 45 degrees. You don't want them to freeze. And then just check them in the spring. I'd pot them up in about February and put them in a sunny window and get them watered. And then they should be a good size by the time you put them outside.
Okay. We're going to get back to phones in a second. A texter that says this, can I fertilize newly seeded grass this fall?
Well, yes.
I'm going to be doing that very thing this weekend.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that now. You can also consider dormant seeding, which is in November, which is where you put down grass seed in around November. It's after the freeze, after things have frozen, and basically it's ready to go for the next spring. So,
but as far as fertilizing,
you could do that now.
Yeah,
yeah.
I made the mistake of in time. I've learned from you guys since. Don't do a weed and feed.
Right.
Do
right,
just a straight fertilizer.
Just a fertilizer. And we have a great, on our website, on the turf grass section, on the lawn section, is a great calendar that tells you the best times to do things. And so in the case of fertilizing, the best time is up to about the middle of October.
Okay. Good, good.
From August to October.
Let's go back to the phones, Julie. Ken in New Brighton is next. Thanks for waiting, Ken.
Good morning. We recently had a tree taken down in our yard and left a lot of damage to the yard. And I put down black dirt, and then I used a seed fertilizer mulch combination, and the grass is coming up beautifully. However, now I'm going to have to possibly roll the soil in order to stabilize it, make it firm enough for grass cutting and so on. When's the best time to do that?
Well, I would say that once the grass is established, you could go ahead and roll it. So give it a little bit more time. And you don't want to roll the really young grass. I don't think you'll probably end up squashing it too much, be too hard on it. But, that soil, when you do add soil into an area that's a lower spot, like where a tree has come out, it is going to settle quite a bit. So you do want to consider that when you do buy your soil. So I would think that once that grass gets established a little bit better, when it gets filled in, then you could do some rolling.
Texter says this, Julie, is it too late to cut back lilacs and dogwoods?
Well, cutting back lilacs right now, depending on the kind you have, if you have a common lilac, which is a spring blooming lilac, you would not want to cut that back now because you'll be cutting off the flower buds for next year. If you don't care about that, if you just want to knock it into a better form or take out some of the woodier stuff, you sure can. Just be aware that you're cutting off buds for next spring bloom. If you have a bloomerang type of lilac or a lilac like a Meyer lilac, you can actually do some cutting back now. And it can just be some loose. You can just shear back the form, get it back into good shape. You can also just trim off those dead flower heads as well.
Okay. Hang on, Julie. We're going to take a quick break here. We have more show to come, more Smart Garden Show on this Saturday. 651-989-9226 or send us a text, and we've got a bunch of those. 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here
good
on 830 WCCO. Julie Weisenhorn is happy time today.
Yeah,
all right.
It's 55. Fun.
55 is our Twin City temp. It is kind of cool, though, isn't it?
It's chilly out there.
It's a nice day, though. Let's go back to the phones, Julie. John in Hammond, Wisconsin has been waiting. John, you're on with Smiling Julie.
Good morning, Smiling Julie. Say, we have three apple trees that we planted a little over 10 years ago, a State Fair, a Zest Star, and a Honeycrest.
Nice.
And they grow well. They're blooming well. They're getting really tall. And I want to know how severely we can lower that top canopy without damaging the tree. I look in the orchards, and it looks like they top their trees. And I'm not quite courageous because I don't want to hurt the tree.
Right. Boy, it's what I here's what I'd recommend is that, first of all, you'd be pruning those in the late winter, so around March. And have you done any regular pruning on an annual basis?
So we thin them out every year, and we keep good leader branches for the fruit.
Okay.
It's just the main trunk of the tree keeps getting taller and taller, of course, and the canopy is so high, and so there's a lot of fruit going higher and higher, and it's just getting difficult to harvest without, you know, keep it safe and not being up on really tall ladders and all.
Okay. So you can head back some of those branches. It's a little hard without a picture. So here's what I would recommend. Take some photos of it and send it to Ask Extension to the, it's on our webpage, which is extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab, go to Yard and Garden. And if you scroll to the bottom, you'll find Ask Extension. And there's a feature called Ask an Expert. And you can put up to 3 photographs. You can email that in, and then one of the master gardeners or I will respond back with where you should prune that, how you could do that. Because it really depends on the size of the branch, and there might be some branches that would be better removed than others, but it's hard to tell you over the phone without looking at actually the structure of the plant.
All right. Thanks
for the best thing to do is wait till the leaves drop off so we can actually see the form of the plant and the branches, and then somebody can help you out. You can email it directly to me, too. You can find me on the University Extension site.
Okay, very good. That's Julie Weisenhorn. Reed in North Branch is next on the horn. Go ahead, Reed. Thank you.
Hi. I'm looking to start I'll put down some new grass seed in my front lawn. It's very dry and sandy, and I was thinking, I don't want to remove any grass now, but I was thinking of just putting down a mixture of topsoil and compost. How would you recommend I proceed?
Okay. The best thing is, first of all, choose a quality seed. If you talk to Sam Bauer, our grass guru, he will tell you that you get what you pay for when it comes to grass seed. So look for some good quality seed. Because you have a sandier, drier site, recommended type of seed would be a fine fescue mix. And you can find some of those now. You can buy some of them online. You can look and talk to your local garden centers as well. And seeding on, according to our lawn care calendar, about mid-September or third week of September is a you know, up until then is a good time to seed. So you're calling at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to choose the right kind of seed. And then you can mix it in with, say, some compost, good quality compost, or some topsoil. And mix it in, and then be sure that you're getting the seed. You want to rough up your area and with a rake, and then go ahead and seed over that and make sure you're getting that seed to soil contact. And that's the most important thing. You got to keep it moist. So we're in a kind of a dry period right now, so you want to be watering it every day so that it stays moist. And then it should be sprouting pretty well.
Okay, good. Dolores is calling from Bloomington with a question. Dolores, you're on with Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Morning.
I'd like to know if you can still send soil samples in.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Is there a charge for that?
A standard soil test is going to be about $17.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
You can just send a check in with your soil test, and if you go to the soil test website, you can find it'll explain exactly how to best take a sample.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
Dolores, very good.
Yeah, good
question.
Call.
We missed the dogwood trimming. Is it too late to cut back
lilacs and dogwoods? I actually like to prune dogwoods when I can see them better. Right now they're full of leaves, and you can do some cutting back if you've got some kind of wanky branches that are shooting out all over. You can trim those back now. But I like to look at those plants when I can't, you know, and take out some of the biggest, kind of corkiest branches, and you can take those down right down to the base at the center of the plant.
There was a text that came in earlier about when is a good time to spray Trimec herbicide on my yard. Is this weekend okay? Is that basically for like Creeping Charlie, something like that?
I'm going to guess it is. Yeah. So if you're trying to do weed control, this is a good time to do weed control because the plants are essentially photosynthesizing to put in a lot of the photosynthates, all the nutrients and energy into their root system right now. So spraying in the fall or treating weeds in the fall is a good time to do it. It's one of the best times to do it in the year because you're going to get that translocation of that chemical down into those weeds. Now, some people, I know some caller or a texter actually said they don't want to spray. They want to get rid of Creeping Charlie in their lawn. If you're not going to spray it, you're going to have to dig it out. And you're going to want to dig it really deeply and big and, you know, make sure that you're getting as much of the roots as possible, then reseed with a quality seed that's suitable for your site.
Very good. We need to take a break, but we have more show to come. Don't go away. Call us, 651-989-9226, or text us, 81807. We'll be back. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by the Yard Patio Furniture, making that great stuff down near Jordan, Minnesota. Welcoming your calls. Julie Weisenhorn is here from the U of M. And you and I were talking about all these lawn questions
that
we have.
Tons
and
that. Of lawn
is there kind of a direction you can send the folks?
Sure.
To?
So, first of all, on our extension site, which many of you know is extension.umn.edu, click on the garden tab, go to Yard and Garden, and go to lawns. And on there, we have our lawn care calendar. So that's a really handy thing. You can print it out, stick it on your refrigerator or in your garage, and it gives you the optimal and the second best times to do various things in your lawn. So people are, there's a number of text messages about thatching, about dethatching your lawn. And thatch is a vegetative buildup due to, you know, excessive mowing or it's basically grass clippings and other debris that have accumulated at the base of the plants. And it doesn't happen very much in Minnesota. It's not a real common thing. But if you are going to do dethatching, then this is a good time to do that. And but that I found that out on the lawn care calendar. Mm-hmm. So take a look at that. And then also, we also have great videos that Sam and his gang have put together on how to. So you can find that on our turf.umn.edu website. And that's a great tool. You can watch that before you go out. A lot of people have been asking about seeding right now. Should I do fertilizing? Yes, this is a great time. Fall is one of the best times to do. It's probably the best time to do lawn care at this point. So treating for weeds, broadleaf weeds, as I mentioned earlier, they're working right now. Those plants are growing and trying to get all of those nutrients into their root system. So if you spray them now, you're going to do some better damage than you would at a later date.
What's the website folks can track this information down?
It is extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab, go to Yard and Garden, click on lawns, and or you can visit directly to our turf grass website, which is turf.umn.edu.
Very good. Back to the phones we go. Leslie is calling from Excelsior. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Good, thanks.
See, I've lived at the same property for 40-some years. And it's about a three-quarter lot. Probably a quarter is woods. I have grown stuff around it just to keep the bad weeds out. It's my whole garden is around that. I had garlic mustard terrible. I got that. I have a new thing coming in now. I keep trying to plant it with new stuff to keep things out. Is there anything, you know, mainly I just hand weed it, but I'll fill up bags and bags of this stuff. Is there anything I know that I need to start growing something else there. Is there a ground cover or something I can put in those areas? Of course, it's all very fairly shady. It's really frustrating. Very frustrating. Wonder your thoughts on that.
Oh, boy, that's a big we could spend a whole hour on that discussion. I think, Leslie, what I'm going to recommend is what I recommended to the gentleman with the apple tree a little earlier, is to send your question in to Ask Extension, because we're going to be able to help you a lot more and get you some links and things, more than I can help you in a couple of seconds on the air. So that's you can also email it directly to me, and you can find my email address on the web, and you can just Google me and find me. But I think that's a better thing to have a little bit longer conversation about.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, Leslie.
It's a big project.
Al is calling from Alden. Excuse me, Al. Go ahead, Al. What's your question?
Yeah, good morning. I just wondered why my evergreens are dying off on me.
Well, Al, that's hard to say. what type? It depends on the type of evergreens and how are they dying off? Are they dying off one at a time? Are they all dying at the same time?
Yeah,
are they mature trees?
I lost one, and they're like pretty well established. They're like 25 to 30 feet high, and I got, I don't know if this matters or not, I got cornfields right up next to them on, you know, where they're growing.
Right.
And I'm kind of losing, like, bottom branches going up type thing.
Are the cornfields yours?
No.
Are they treating the cornfields with an herbicide, for example?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that right there would make me think that maybe there was some herbicide drift.
Okay.
When they treated the cornfields for weeds, that they drifted onto your evergreens. You're going to need to do some detective work and talk to that neighbor who has that and find out what they sprayed and when they sprayed it. And you have to work that out if they really are killing the plants or if it's just herbicide damage to the needles.
Okay.
But if the trees are completely dying, then that's kind of a bigger discussion. So, but that drift can be, you know, a problem, whether you're spraying a small plant in your yard or you're spraying a whole field.
Yeah, we experienced some of that on my gardens, too, you know, we get drift from that and it's killing stuff off. Mm.
Right, right.
You know, they're big farmers. They farm a couple thousand acres, so they do the things they do. I'm not going to change your mind.
Yeah. So I guess if the trees have died, if you determine that they have died and you talk to your neighbor and, you know, work something out, then I would recommend planting, you know, moving whatever trees, if you replant theirs, to plant further away. And then that farmer should have some kind of a buffer that would absorb any kind of drift or stop, you know, don't spray.
When
it's windy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that something I could take a picture of and send to you guys and maybe?
It's probably better to actually call a certified arborist to come out and take a look at the trees than to send us a photo. So you can find a certified arborist. We have a publication on our extension site under our trees and shrubs section that gives you some good questions to ask and how to reach a certified arborist.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so I would do that. If it's mature trees like that, have them come. Because it might be something else. It might not be herbicide drift at all. It might be, it could be a wood borer or something like that, an insect that's contaminated or you know, infested the trees. It could be, you know, it could be spider mites. Could be all sorts of other things. So have a certified arborist come take a look.
All right, you know what? Roger in Brooklyn Park may have a thought about this. Roger, what is your thought?
Yeah, my thought might be it could be Dothostroma, you know, needle cast.
Right,
and if they're truly old, that old, the best thing to do is throw them at the base and start all over again.
Well,
that's an option. They do have lifespan.
Yeah, I think it's best to have someone take a look at them, though. But that's a good point. It could be something unrelated to the cornfield.
It could be, yeah. All right, well, it's worth somebody taking a look at an arborist.
It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, Roger, thanks for the input.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate that. Let's see who else has been winning. Ron is calling from St. Bonnie. Ron, you're on with Julie.
Yes, I was thinking of putting in a lobelia cardinal flower. I'd like to know any particulars about it. One in, I should plant now or should I wait till spring and it's pruning and just if it's durable enough for up here.
It's pretty good. I would definitely wait till spring. You don't want to plant it now. It's getting too late in the season to really be planting perennials because they, you know, rule of thumb, they need more time to establish roots. And you're putting them into a situation where they're going into a colder period, you know, going into winter and it's dry and they may not make it through the winter. So I would wait till spring. And I would think about maybe planting a few of them together in a group because they really are a terrific plant. They're great for pollinators, beautiful red color, big plant too, quite tall. So leave enough space. Look at the size, the mature size of that plant, space it appropriately so that it can get to that mature size without growing into other plants too. And I like to always plant in maybe 3 or 5 if you have room because numbers, just because you get a bigger bang for your buck on the plant.
Okay. Thanks, Ron. Alma's calling from Maple Grove. Alma, you're on CCO.
Thank you. I have a very large oak tree in the back of my yard, and it seems to be losing abnormal amount of leaves and small branches this year. Is that normal?
Well, it could be due to storms. We've had a number of pretty violent storms with a lot of wind, and it could be due to squirrel activity. Squirrels will knock branches down as they kind of caper across looking for those acorns. If the leaves have spots, if they have, if they're dead, if they're, you know, if they look like they're burnt at all or anything, if they have some kind of a weird look to them, then you could take a photo of those and send that in to Ask Extension, and we could take a look at that. You can also send a sample into the Plant Disease Clinic on campus. It's a little expensive. It's about $45 or so for most tests, but they could take a look at it and see if it's something that is something to be concerned about, or contact a certified arborist and have them come and take a look at it in person. That's one of the best ways to assess the health of a plant.
Yeah, good deal. All right, Julie, we have to take a break. We have more callers and more texters to help out this morning on our Smart Garden Show.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show brought to us by the Yard Patio Furniture. Julie Weisenhorn in with us from the University of Minnesota. As you can see, Julie, as usual.
Go Gophers.
Go Gophers, yes. We have texters and we have callers. Speaking of that, there was a text that came in a bit ago.
Yeah, so there's a question about planting a pagoda dogwood, a Taunton yew, red ferns, and hydrangea this weekend. This would be a good time to do that, actually. This is fall is a pretty good time to be planting shrubs and trees because it's cooler, it's less stressful for the plants. You want to be sure that you water them. Based on rainfall, of course, up until freeze, till you can't water them anymore. So any of that, we got a number of people asking about, can I plant a tree now? Can I plant shrubs now? Yeah, this is a good time
good
to do
time
that.
Yep. We're good. Back to the phones we go. Dave is calling from Fridley with a question. Go ahead, Dave. Thank you.
Right. I would say about a month ago, I sprayed the lawn with a weed killer. And I think I put down too much because the whole lawn is all dead now. And I'm just wondering if that could be coming back this fall or maybe next spring?
No, I don't think so. The weed killer, do you remember what you sprayed?
It was just a plain, typical brand that you'd buy at a big box store. I can give you a name if you want it.
Yeah, what name is it?
Bear, Bauer, or something.
Bear.
Yeah, you'd need to know what the active ingredient is on that, because that's going to tell you whether it's a broadleaf herbicide or if it's a non-selective or... Selective means that it'll only kill certain kinds of plants, and non-selective means that it will kill everything, like glyphosate, active ingredient Roundup, kills everything.
We've had plenty of rain, and I thought maybe it might come back, but it has no sign whatsoever of coming back.
It sounds to me like you used a pretty much non-selective herbicide, and it killed your lawn along with the weeds. So you're going to need to reestablish your lawn and remove some of the rake up that dead grass, and then you're going to want to put down seed. And this would be a good time to do it. You could do that now. Choose a seed that's close to what you already have in other parts of your lawn, and then in the spring you may also do some seeding as well. You want to watch for weeds in particular in the spring. So that's one of the issues. You got to read the label and be sure that you're choosing a product that's going to do what you want it to. And in some cases, you can ask a garden center person to help you decipher that label as well. There's also a great publication on our turfgrass, turf.umn.edu, on how to read a label. So you want to take a look at that. That's really important.
Some of that can be difficult to read.
It is difficult,
the font size.
It's intimidating, too, because it's a lot of technical, scientific stuff. And, to the credit of the label companies and to the product companies, they've tried hard to make it easier for homeowners to understand it. But the most important thing is to look at what's labeled, what it's labeled for, what plant it's labeled for. So if you're treating a broadleaf weed like Creeping Charlie, you want to be sure that it's labeled for Creeping Charlie, that it is designed to kill Creeping Charlie. If you are looking for something that is fertilizer, for example, you want to make sure that it's that your plant is labeled, that it's on that label, and it's and this is an appropriate product for that particular plant.
Okay. Well, good luck, Dave. Boy.
Yeah.
Barbara is calling from Minneapolis. Barbara, you're on CCO with Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Barbara.
I ordered a really unusual bulb this year I've never had before called pineapple lilies.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, can I save them?
Well, I was looking on, I saw your text, and during that break, I was reading about it because I wasn't familiar with the pineapple lily.
Oh,
you're
really
the you're the stumper of the day for me. So, I saw some pineapple lily bulbs that primarily, I think they're not hardy for Minnesota. And so you can dig them up, kind of like a tuberous begonia.
Yeah, like a canna lily.
Exactly.
I save my cannas.
Yep, I would do just the same thing that you do for the cannas.
But I don't cover them with anything. I put them in a paper bag down in the basement.
Right.
Can I do that with this, or do I have to cover it with something?
I think you can do the same thing.
Okay, and those I leave out to a light frost. I don't think I should with this.
Well, actually, a light frost is just going to kill the top of the plant. It's not going to kill the bulb itself.
Okay, because they're in pots.
Yeah, so you could also, if you have a location in your house or your garage where it's about 45 or 50 degrees, you can
right.
move the whole pot into the,
okay,
just leave it
I
in there,
that.
And then that'll give you a head start in the spring. You can put it into a sunny window and start watering it.
Uh-huh.
And, get something going before you actually
move they it out. Are so unusual. I really like
them. They're non-edible for those of you thinking about buying a
pineapple.
They just have a little pineapple tuft on the top of them.
Yeah, they look like a Laertes flower.
Right.
And this one's white, but they do come in colors, I guess.
Yep, they do. There's a mix of them.
And I'm going to get that next year. I just think they're great.
Yeah, I noticed that Michigan Bulb had a nice selection of them. That was the site I was reading about.
Okay. So. Thanks, Barbara. Yeah. Appreciate the call. Let's see who has been waiting. Herb is calling, I believe, from Waverly. Good morning, Herb.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
If you want to know my question,
we sure do.
I see holes in lawn is on the notes here.
Yes, I got holes in the lawn like they're digging for grubs. Is something besides skunks that do that?
Well, there are a number of animals that could be digging. A lot of times squirrels are burying walnuts now and acorns. And so they're digging holes and
they do a lot of
They do a lot of hole digging this time of year. So it could be squirrels, could be chipmunks, could be skunks digging for grubs. But I think you would have smelled the skunk.
I haven't smelled skunks, but they're even digging along. I live in the country and along the road banks.
Okay.
They're just big patches where they're digging holes.
Yeah, they're all
They're not digging so much, but making a hole like they're getting the grubs.
Yep. So they probably are. They might be doing that. They might be burying or digging for, roots or other things too. So they're definitely getting ready for winter, whatever it is.
Oh yeah, I see my lawn too. They're all over the place.
You got a lot of holes.
Yeah.
So they look
squirrels.
Like a putting green.
Not that quite, though. But they are. They're determined.
Yeah,
they really are. Yeah.
People wonder about what to do about squirrels, and it's like not much.
I'll tell you what, Julie, in the remaining 2-3 minutes we have, maybe we could pick up on some text messages.
Yeah, sure. So somebody is asking about, there was a really long text here. Oh, this is a renovation of an area by a sidewalk. And this is another case where it's too much information that we can, we could have a big discussion about how to do this. So I would recommend the person who has the sidewalk issue and they said their garden is settling and they need to basically renovate it is to contact me and send an email in to me. You can find my email address online. And I would do that or send it to Ask Extension and the Master Gardeners will help you with what to do there. We have an awesome team on the Ask Extension bunch. So that is the best solution for that because that's really a longer discussion. An amaryllis bulb outside. They planted it outside this summer and it's blooming. Yay! Now what can I do? Can I bring it in, go dormant for 8 weeks, and will it rebloom this winter like they've done in the past? Hard to say if it will rebloom because now it's actually put a lot of energy into doing that, producing a flower now. And it's not uncommon that they bloom in the summer, but to have them now rest and then try to force them into blooming again, you may or may not be successful. I'd say you could give it a try and see what happens. So you're certainly not going to hurt the bulb at all.
Julie, we have, right now, less than 60 seconds, just about a minute to go. Yeah. Now, maybe we've had so many lawn questions today. Do you want to backtrack and tell that location on the website?
So this is a great time to do work on your lawn.
Really is.
And so if you want to find our lawn care calendar, you can find that on our extension site, which is extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab, go to yard and garden, and go to lawns. You can also just Google UMN lawn care. There's a great calendar there that will help you decide when you should be doing certain things like seeding and fertilizing, dethatching, pre and post emergent weed control. And then also you can go to our turf.umn.edu. So that's for all the lawn people. Everybody else, you can find what you need. Ask extension if you don't find what you want.
Good deal. Julie, always a pleasure.
Yep,
thank
you
so much.
Great to see you, Denny.
Yes,
thank you.
We'll have another show next week here on 830 WCCO.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.